Okay, an interesting topic for tonight. Okay? So, I'm sure it's a Rashi that you have all heard. But, if you are like me, it's one of those things that you just heard of and never actually thought about. I just kind of put into that bin of right things that are just strange that you never somehow never got a chance to think about. So, maybe you're not like me, but that's still my experience, you know. And then someone asked me about it. Did you ever hear Rebbe or anything of Ibshana? And I'm like, no. But it's a good question. So the thing is basically it comes down to why it's the beginning part of Vayechi. Come in. Come on in. Hi. Okay, so the beginning part of Vayechi. If the baby needs help, I'm sure Ayala would be more than happy to, you know. Yeah, so the beginning of Parshas Vayechi, so the question is, so right at the beginning, so Yaakov was about to die, or he's kind of looking close to dying, and he told Yosef to not to bury him in Mitzrayim, right? He says, don't bury Mitzrayim. You'll bury me in their burial place. So that I understand. You won't do bury Mitzrayim Machpela. That's true. That's good. But it's more than that. You could pass that one also to us. It's Mem Zayin Lamed or Sachat. So I understand why he wanted to be buried in Maris Machpelah, right? After all, Avram bought Maris Machpelah. He wanted to set it up as where people go and think about the Avos, all that. But he makes a point first. His first request is, Al-Nasik Reini B'Mitzrayim. Don't bury me in Mitzrayim. Right? So, what's the thing, don't bury me in Mitzrayim? It's not just bury me in Maris Machpelah, don't bury me in Mitzrayim. So why? So Rashi says like this, Al-Nasik Reini three Pshatim. One is Sofolios Afra Kinam. Eventually, the dirt of Mitzrayim is going to become lice, kinem, whom rachshim tachas gufi, and they're going to crawl under my body. That's the Medrash has that. So he didn't like that idea. Right? Okay. Secondly, v'shein meisei chutz la'aretz chayim el b'tzar gilgal mechilos, and the dead of Mitzrayim, of chutz la'aretz, don't come back to life, in tchias ha'meisim, but via the pain of the rolling in the tunnels. Okay? Right. Okay. And the Shiloh Yasumi...
I never heard tunnels either. I just thought maybe of the tunnels that the Palestinians are making. They're preparing for Mashiach. I'm picturing like...
I know. The Rashi, it's like not a very exact quote from the Gemara. I mean, I'll show you. It's... And the tunnels isn't part of it, because it isn't really. You'll see, we'll get to it, okay? And Mishalei Yasin Mitzrayim Avod Zar. And also, so the Mitzrayim don't make me an Avod Zar, right? Because after all, he was the father of Yaakov. They said if they hadn't stopped when he got there, he was like a big figure. So he didn't want them to make him into Avod Zar, so he figured if you bury him there, they're going to mummify him, make him into Avod Zar, or whatever. So he says, don't bury me, okay? Okay, so the most reasonable pshat is the last pshat, right? That makes sense. But the other two are kind of strange, right? Mm-hmm. The kinem, I mean, what does he care about the kinem? Exactly, his body is going to be kinem. I mean, it's like as if both of them sound like as if he's like living on the ground, and you know.
Feels that.
So the thing I was really asked about was the tunnels thing, the dragging of the bones or whatever, you know? What's the deal with that? Right? So it turns out it's a Gemara. It's Gemara and Ksuvos. Okay? So it's in Ksuvos, Kuf Yud Aleph Amar Aleph, 111a. But basically the Gemara is talking about the benefits living in Eretz Yisrael, living in Chutz La'aretz. People who live in Eretz Yisrael, who live in Chutz La'aretz, aren't going to live. And it says, no, it doesn't really mean that. So what then does it mean? It says, give me a second. Yeah, it says like the Rav Elazar says, "Meisim shebechutz la'aretz einan chayim." The meisim in chutz la'aretz aren't going to live. So it says, and he quotes a pasuk. So it says, and when I asks, really, there's another pasuk which implies that they will, right? So So it goes through a whole long dialogue about these pesukim. But basically, at the end of the thing, the Gemara says, according to Rav Elazar, tzaddikim and chosarot won't live? Because it sounds like...
What about the other brothers?
What about the other brothers? Okay, good question. But just follow the line. But here he's not talking about brothers or anything yet. He's just saying, is Rav Elazar saying the mesim and chosarot won't live? So the Gemara is saying, really? According to Rav Elazar, tzaddikim and chosarot aren't going to live? Tz'chis mesim? So it says, no, of course they will. But it means al yidei gildol. Through rolling, Rashi, it says, Rashi says, Misgalgalim hatzamas at Eretz Yisrael, the bones will roll to Eretz Yisrael, the chayin sham, and then they're going to come to life over there. So it doesn't mean they're not going to live, it just means they're first going to have to be dragged to Eretz Yisrael, and then they're going to live. So I guess they're not going to live in there in Chutzlaret, but rather they're going to be rolled, dragged, and then they're going to live there. So the Gemara says, Maskal Farav Abba, Rasallah, he asks, Rav Gilgal at Tzadikim Tzaru? Right? But it's a Tzar. Right? Right? So it's a Tzar? So why should they have Tzar? Good. Why should they have Tzar? Right? Why should the Tzadikim, after all, if they're Tzadikim, so they're going to have to roll, but why should they have to suffer the Tzar? Right? So the Gemara says, the Abaye says, the Mechilos Nasalam Bekarka. They're going to make tunnels that are going to be made for them in the ground. So Rashi says, they're going to have tunnels and they're going to stand on their feet. And they're going to walk in the tunnels to Eretz Yisrael. And then they pop out of the surface above ground after they take it along track to Eretz Yisrael in the underground tunnel system. Right? So the Gemara says, hold on a second. It says, Mr. Sunny, Mr. Rank, right? So, right, Yaakov, now it goes back to Yaakov. He says, on my current dvarim, go, Yadei HaTzadik, Yaakov, Yenish HaTzadik, Amar Haya. Yaakov must have known he's a big tzadik. The Mesim Shebechutz Lord Tzchayim, and if the Mesim Shebechutz Lord do live through this tunnel thing, Lama HaTriyach HaZbanov? So why does he have to tell them to carry him? What's the big deal? He'll just live, and he'll get the tunnels. Big deal. So the Gemara says, no, Shema lo yizkul mechilas. He thought maybe he's not going to be zocha to the tunnels. Okay. He thought maybe he's not going to be zocha to the tunnels. Okay. And he says, similarly, same thing by Yosef. He says, why did Yosef ask him to make sure to bury him there? So he knew he saw the Gemara. He says, no, because also, maybe he's going to be zocha to the mechilas, to these tunnels. Right?
What's the word for tongues?
Mechilos.
It's not in this Rashi.
It
doesn't have the word
Mechilos
in this Rashi.
Doesn't? Really, what does yours have?
Gilgal
Mechilos.
It says Gilgal
Mechilos. Does yours say? Maybe not. Maybe there's different versions.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Can you speak to me somewhere that's here?
Yeah. I'm sorry? What's that?
I always thought that just meant roll through.
I can hear a few parts of what you said.
Okay, is the phone connection bad or are you just...
Yeah, now it's good. Yeah.
It's better now? How about now? Is it better still now?
Yeah, it's good. It's good, yeah.
Okay, just give me 1 second. Right. How is it that are going to what?
To have pain.
Pain? How can pain?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. I guess they're, I don't know, that's, yeah, I never understood this whole thing either, exactly. But, I mean, arguably, they're going to come back to life, right? So maybe they're going to have the pain, I guess they're going to be dragged, I know, they're dragging their bones, and what's hurting them about their bones being dragged? Maybe you'll give them skin first, and then they're going to have the pain? I know, why not just drag them first, before you put the skin on them and the nerves, and then give them skin? That would seem to be an easier solution, instead of having to make the tunnels. Right? Putting it to make tunnels, just, don't make the tunnels, drag them under whatever, in their bones, and then put the flesh on afterwards, and then their pain will come,
It's also lighter to carry the bones without the flesh on it.
It's true.
You have to carry it.
This touch with Amar Yaliasa? That's where you were reading from?
Oh, yes. Yeah, so basically, so the Gemara says, if there's going to be tunnels, then what was Yaakov and Yosef both telling everybody to carry them, to bury them? What's the big deal? Let's get the tunnels anyways. So it says they didn't know that they were Tzadik Gamor. They're not sure if they were a Tzadik, then maybe they're not going to be Zochet to that, and they're going to have the tunnels. So in order to avoid the tunnels, I'm sorry, they thought they weren't going to get the tunnels. Maybe they'd be dragged. So in order to avoid that, they said, you know what, can you carry us? So this way we're not going to have to worry about that. Right? Yeah, so the whole thing is a little strange. What's this? Why is there this tsar? It sounds like God can't just, you know, God needs to drag them and he's healing the pain. I mean, the whole thing sounds, I don't know, strange, right?
Well, the whole concept of Tzchias HaMeisim is pretty strange, too.
Yes, but see, I don't mind saying that Tzchias HaMeisim is a miracle. That's you saw that there's a miracle and that's going to happen at a certain point.
It's going to be a miracle. A miracle can happen smoothly, or the miracle right. can happen. Oh my God.
Right. Why does the miracle have to be? It's just confined by these tunnels and all that, right? Right.
But it's interesting because there is a lot of pain associated with thinking about what's going to happen to you.
That's true.
Like, even though the types of things that you come up with are nonsense in a way,
right.
like these sound a lot like nonsense.
Right.
It's like, I think a person does have a tendency to picture like what will happen to them after they die, and then depending on what kind of picture they have, you know, it's more or less they're more or less at ease right. with the idea of dying.
Right. So therefore, what?
Maybe that's what you're referring to, like, that Yosef was really concerned about, despite his sodic status.
Right.
He was very concerned about like. And the obvious real concern about the tree. He did have concern about what can happen to a mass tree.
Right.
Like, you don't really know it all how it is.
Right. Right. So he's concerned that maybe he's not going to be.
Not fully enjoy it or not
right.
fully have it or.
Right.
I don't know. Something along those lines.
Right. Was I correct in my initial thing about that? We've heard this a lot of times, but I haven't really analyzed that.
Well, the thing is, he doesn't say that he's concerned that he's not going to do it. He says but he's worried about the tsar if you'll go.
Yes.
He doesn't say that he's. Think
well, yes.
He's make it. Well,
no, I don't. Yeah, I don't think he's saying he's not going to make it. He's just saying he didn't know.
He
didn't, he didn't think he was going to make it to the tunnels. He was going to have the tsar being dragged. It sounds like there's two paths, there's two solutions.
Oh, you could go through tunnels if you're at Tzadik.
Tunnels, Tzadik Gomers get tunnels, not Tzadik Gomers get
painful.
Pain of being dragged, their bones being dragged. So he wasn't sure which class he was going to belong to. Mm-hmm. If he knew that he was going to get the tunnels and walk upright, so then it's not worth hocking everybody to carry him across, he'll just walk through the tunnels. Mm-hmm. But since he wasn't sure if he was going to get the tunnels, maybe he's going to get dragged, he said, oh, I don't want dragging. Dragging doesn't sound too good, so when you carry, you know, you guys carry me, so I don't have to have the tsar. Right?
Okay.
And also, I mean, it's interesting. Yeah. He's concerned. Is that what he's concerned about, though? He's, like, concerned, like, it's going to be very painful, and he's saying, I want you guys to carry me, make this whole ordeal, make the whole thing with Paro to carry me out of here, because I want to make sure I avoid the pain of the tunnels.
Like, he lived through so much pain.
Right. Right.
Rabbi?
Yes.
I think it's also strange. I mean, that idea is definitely weird, but also the whole thing with, like, the Kenim. It sounds like he's, like, so hyper-focused on, like, his physical body, and, like, those are the main reasons why he doesn't want to be there at the time.
It's true.
Like, the last thing he gave, the last explanation, was just about, like, the Vodazar. Like, you would think that would be his, like, prime example.
I know. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true, it's a good point. The Kenim one also is similarly about his physical pain. Or something like that. It's not clear what the... Right, is the Kenim... That's also a good question. Is the Kenim also a similar kind of thing, like a pain of the Kenim? Or is that something else? It's not very explanatory. Like, what is...
It's talking about the Makav Kenim?
Yes, I think so. I think it means there's going to be a Makav Kenim. The dirt is going to turn into Kenim. Because the question is, what's he worried about the Kenim? Doesn't he know that there are going to be worms? Like, Nesim, you know... they become decomposed by the worms and whatever. So, I mean, is the kingdom really going to be worse than the worms? You know? Or whatever else is underground eating up your flesh? I mean, it's not like you're going to stay intact. I mean, how the kingdom is going to be the thing. I mean, less than mummifying or whatever, but the whole thing is strange. But let's leave... Yeah, your point is well taken, ma'am. Is it seems funny that he's being concerned about pain, physical pain and suffering. I understand him being concerned about the moment. But with the Zohar, that's a real thing. He's saying, this is his command to Yosef. Please don't bury him in Mitzrayim because I'm worried about the pain of his physical pain. You'd think that he's somehow thinking of higher, loftier ideals. Yeah.
And we're just separating this from the question of that he wants to be buried in Maras and Machpelah. I mean,
yes. It seems like Rashi's being Doresh. If he wants to just say bury him in Machpelah, then why is he saying, don't bury him in Mitzrayim? Sounds like Rashi's being Doresh, that there's two things. Firstly, don't bury me in Mitzrayim. Secondly, bury me with my fathers. Almost as if, let's say he wasn't going to make it all the way to Aras HaPela. Still, don't bury me in Mitzrayim. I'd rather be on the road, I'd rather be somewhere else. Something's wrong with Mitzrayim. So Rashi is doing Doresh, there's three things wrong with Mitzrayim. Like lice, the tunnels, and the Zara.
And we're not asking about why none of the brothers, like Yosef seems to also not want to be buried there, but everybody else was buried there?
It's true.
Binyamin was buried in Eretz Yisrael.
Was he?
Yeah, there's a cave of Binyamin that I've been to. I think it's in... Yosef is buried in Shechem. There's a cave of Binyamin somewhere in Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, that's a good question. What happened to the other brothers?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Good question.
Okay.
Yeah, no. You know.
I mean, it seems like it's an absolute principle that it should apply to everybody.
Right. It's true, but maybe, you know, maybe you have to be in a position to be able to tell other people where to bury you. Maybe that, you know. Good question.
Okay, but we're assuming, even with whatever this means, that it's not that they won't have...
No. So that's what the Gemara... See, that's what the Gemara originally thought. What they're saying is, the Mason and Chutzlars aren't going to come back. So Gemara says, really? Tzadikim and Chutzlars doesn't make any sense. Why is it tzadik? Because you're not... So the Gemara says, no, you're right, it can't mean that. It just means that they're not going to have, they're going to have the pain of being dragged. But of course they're going to come back. Strange one, right?
Also, like, since it's not necessarily going to be within their control, why would they be punished?
That's a good question. You mean, if it's not in your control, why do you have to be punished to get the pain of the... That's a good question. You mean, it's saying, is it tzaddik? Let's say it's tzaddik. It's not tzaddik Amor, but is it tzaddik? So why should he have to suffer the pain of being dragged, his bones? And what, just because he happens to be in the Chutzlaritz in Eretz Yisrael, and he doesn't suffer? Right? It sounds like you're right. Why is that fair? Like, let's say a guy who lives in the Chutzlaritz, he can't come to Eretz Yisrael because he can't. Let's say, persecution, this, that, whatever. And he's going to have his pain of being dragged, and yet another person who manages to be in Eretz Yisrael is not going to have that pain? And why is he deserving of that? So I understand if it's Tzadik Gamor, then he's going to get the tunnels. But if he's not a Tzadik Gamor, and it seems not so easy to be a Tzadik Gamor, Yosef and Yaakov were worried about it, so apparently it's a very steep requirement. Right? So then you're going to have pain. Well, why do you need to have the pain?
Pictures of Caleb and Yaman.
Does it have the tunnels?
Where is it? Was that the tunnels? Yeah, no, it's in Eretz Yisrael. It's in the Shomron.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've been to it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so what do we say? Any thoughts?
I like a thought on the
Kenan. Okay, let's stay on this one first, okay? If we have time for the Kinnin, we could, you know. There's one other thing that I ask.
Do we have an idea of why Theosemesim is tied to Eretz Yisrael? Like, what that...
No. Let's do a question, why is it tied to Eretz Yisrael altogether? Not clear. Maybe you could help me out with that. It's also interesting how at first it said the Mason of Chatzlars aren't going to come back. And then it changes. It says, no, they're going to come back, but, you know. Yeah, why is, that's a good question. It's a good thing to think about. Why is it tied to Eretz Yisrael?
Maybe because some Israeli startup is going to come up with the technology to use DNA to recreate the bodies.
Right, what else would it happen, right?
It has to happen in Israel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. I think I saw an article about that.
Biomedical engineering.
I'm just wondering, this is like just kind of like a stab in the dark, but
okay.
Because I was just wondering what it has to do with Eretz Yisrael and whether Tchias HaMesim is really more for like individuals or for Klal Yisrael. You know, like the Klal Yisrael is supposed to be in Eretz Yisrael or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
And that there's something about, I can't remember why that came to mind, but the Klal Yisrael, I don't remember.
Okay, good thought.
That's something made me think about that.
Okay, so let me continue that thought, because then it's a good start. Is that Tchias HaMesim is not for the individual guy as much as Tchias HaMesim is, this is a pshat I heard from everyone, so Tchias HaMesim, that it's for the sake of Klal Yisrael to have all of the Balei Masorah together. Like in the Muslim Mashiach will be an era, which will be the whole world will be filled with knowledge of God. Okay? As depicted in the Nevi'im. Right? Now, how will that happen? So, one arguably, well, the way that will happen is you'll have all the Balei Masorah together will join hands and establish a world order built around Torah, around Yiddish Hashem. So, the Balei Masorah, as great as they are, they were isolated by time, right? There are generational gaps between all the different Balei Masorah by all the members of Klal Yisrael. So Tchias HaMesim will be that the Tzaddikim of Klal Yisrael, or the Balei Masorah, but Tzaddikim, we don't know exactly the line, the cutoff for Tzaddikim, but Tzaddikim will come back to life and will be involved in establishing a society, an ultimate society, of the highest level of Torah and Yiddish Hashem. So that will be, it will be the beginning. They will be involved in establishing that ultimate society and that world order. Right? Now, where will that society be centered? In Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, clearly that's the focal point of the Torah system, is in Eretz Yisrael, Ki Mitzion Tetzei Torah, Torah Shem Yerushalayim. So the ultimate, the Mikdash, I mean, that's where it's going to be at. That's, of course, it will spread out to the whole world, but the essence of the society will be built around there. It's Yisrael. Okay? So, if a person is Zochah to Tchias HaMesim, let's imagine a person who lives his whole life in America. Lives, dies, buried in America. And all his ties, connections, community, family, friends, everything, burial plot, are all in America. Is he going to come back to life in America, sell his house, say goodbye to his friends, and then take a long flight to Israel? So that's Gemara saying no. Mason Shiva Chutzlar Zayn Chayim. They're not going to come back. You're not going to have Mason popping up Chutzlar. Because there's no purpose. That's not the purpose of Tchias HaMesim, to give a guy, an individual tzaddik, back to where he left off. The whole purpose of bringing him back is for him to be a player in building the ultimate society in Eretz Yisrael. So there's not going to be a Tchias HaMesim in Eretz Yisrael, in Chutz La'aretz. So it says, really, what about the tzaddikim in Chutz La'aretz? So it says, no, they're going to come back, but they're going to be dragged to to Eretz Yisrael. So their bones are going to be transported on the ground, and they're going to pop up. They're going to come into existence in Eretz Yisrael. Not in Chutz Laaretz, but in Eretz Yisrael, because that's the whole objective, to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. So now, what about that question of the pain? What's the pain? They're bones. Bones don't have nerve endings or whatever. Why is it going to be painful? So I was thinking is maybe it doesn't mean that there's going to be a physical pain of rolling, but it's going to be a psychological pain of emerging, coming back to life in a different environment, in a land of Eretz Yisrael. As a person, imagine a person who's connected, who's attached to all their psychological energy and connections and everything in Chutz Laaretz. All of a sudden, bam, they're in Eretz Yisrael to stay. So that's very painful. You're ripping a person, you're dragging a person out of their comfort zone, out of their home, all their attachments which are set up in their homeland. I have to be ripped away from them, and now they have to reestablish themselves in a brand new environment, in a brand new society, in Eretz Yisrael. So that's going to be painful for a person. Right? That's going to be painful for a person, because there's going to be that tsar. There's going to be that's very difficult for a person to become torn out of his comfort zone. So rather, what's a better solution? A better solution is if a tzaddik understands this, a tzaddik in his life will direct himself, will move to Eretz Yisrael, will align himself and his energies and his destination, his ultimate destination with Eretz Yisrael. And if he's not able to make it there in his life, then at the very least he'll say, "There me in Eretz Yisrael. I don't. My ultimate resting place is not here. This is not my home. I'm here. I have to be here, whatever reason. But ultimately, I align myself with the fate of Klal Yisrael, the fate of the Mikdash and Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael. Don't bury me here. Pull me out of here. This isn't where I belong. I belong there. Bury me there." And that action of commanding people and saying is, "I am going to be buried there. I don't want to be buried here," is itself an action of perfection, of aligning himself, of putting his energies, breaking his ties. It's not easy to say, to command people that. They're breaking his ties from Chutz Laaretz and establishing ties to Eretz Yisrael. Then, when he's brought back to life in Eretz Yisrael, that's not going to be painful, because he would have done the work of the perfection of overcoming his attachments to here when he was alive. So this way he's going to not have that pain. That's what arguably it's saying, is that Yaakov Avinu was saying, don't bury me in Mitzrayim. I don't want to be buried in Mitzrayim. Not because he wants to avoid the pain. I mean, yeah, sort of because he wants to avoid the pain, but because he wants to gain the perfection now. The pain comes from imperfections, from connections to the improper connections to Chutz Laaretz. I don't want those improper connections. Break them away. I don't want the pain. I want to deal with that emotion, those attachments now. This is not my home. I'm in Mitzrayim, but this isn't my home. Bury me there. Make sure you bury me there. You know, and this way, he'll avoid the pain. So the Gemara says, but why should a tzaddik... Why should a tzaddik who's... Why should a tzaddik who's been living a life, a good life of tzidkus here in Chutz Laaretz, and he just happens to not be able to be in Chutz Laaretz, in Eretz Yisrael, for whatever reasons, why should he have to suffer that pain? Right? So the Gemara says, you're right, he doesn't. He doesn't. They're going to make comments.
Like he would have been buried in Israel if he yes. wasn't able to arrange it. But
yes.
He
yeah, he couldn't. He could have. He would have been in Israel. He just wasn't, because practical considerations. Like, let's say Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu would love to have been buried in Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
But he couldn't. It wasn't in the cards. Or arguably Yaakov and Yosef. They wanted to be in it. They didn't want to be in, you know. But that was what Hashgacha had for them. So they're tzaddik, their ultimate tzaddikim. So why do they have to have the pain and suffering of not being, it's not their fault. Right? So the Gemara says, you're right. God will make tunnels. They'll have tunnels Mechilas Nasalam Bekarka. Their tunnels will be made for them in the ground, and they'll stand up and they'll walk there, you know, and then they'll emerge. So what does that mean, the tunnels? So what's the pshat in these tunnels?
Just that, like, they'll be smoother.
Right. Exactly. Is that for them, they are still going to have to go to Eretz Yisrael. They're still going to have to remove their energies from Chutz La'aretz and walk them to Eretz Yisrael, so to speak. It means they're going to have to redirect their energies away from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. But since the reason why they're in Chutz La'aretz is not because they have an imperfection, that they're rooted, they're connected to the values of Chutz La'aretz, but just because of whatever practical reasons, so for them it won't be painful to move. They'll have to do it. They'll have to go on a little walk. It means they're going to have to walk their energies out and redirect them. But that's no big deal. It's not going to be painful for them. It's not going to be tsar. It's just going to be a process, a natural process, like taking a walk. Like you have to walk to the place, you know? They're not going to be dragged, rolled. See, a person who's attached emotionally to Chutz La'aretz and to what it stands for, they're going to be pulled out, dragged. Their bones are going to be dragged out. But it's saying that Tzadik Gamor, who doesn't have those attachments, is going to have to still go, but it's not going to be painful. It's going to be like walking upright. It means they'll be a willing, it's not against their will. They'll walk upright, they'll be able to just do it without any problems. So Gamor says, so why are you worried? So why were Yaakov and Yosef worried? Aren't they Tzadik and Gemurim? So it says, no, they didn't know. They weren't confident that they were Tzadik and Gemurim. So apparently, they had a good life in Mitzrayim. The Jews were very successful in Mitzrayim, right? They built a society in Mitzrayim. Yosef was a leader in Mitzrayim. He was very powerful. Yaakov also, you know, excelled in Mitzrayim. They set up a family in Mitzrayim. They had Goshen. And they both weren't confident that they didn't have any improper attachment to Mitzrayim, right? I mean, they didn't know, it sounds like. They weren't confident that they were totally related to Eretz Yisrael properly. Maybe in living in Mitzrayim for so long, their energies became attached to it in an improper way, such that now they're attached to something nice about Mitzrayim and not about Eretz Yisrael. And then there will be a pain of being extracted. Right? So therefore they said, before they died, they commanded their offspring to say, don't bury me here. This is not my home. If I am attached, that action of commanding them is itself an action of breaking those attachments and aligning yourself with more with Eretz Yisrael and less with, you know. So that if they were confident that it was totally through circumstances out of their control and they had no connection to the land, the improper connection, they wouldn't have had to do that. But that's saying that they didn't know that. It's not, that's a thing a person can't really know. So that was why they commanded them to do it, you know. But I think the point is that I think it is true. If a person thinks of being buried in Eretz Yisrael, as strange as it sounds, I think it is a challenge, you know? So you feel like, this is where I am, this is my... Especially, this is what we noticed also, it's like, back in the day, and still if you go like to New Hampshire, or you go to other places out in New York, people are buried in their city, in the outskirts of their city. That's how you can tell you're approaching a city in New Hampshire, you're driving in 302, for instance, or whatever, there's a cemetery at the beginning of the city, and a cemetery at the end of the city. So you're like buried in your hometown. So it's like, this is where, like now, like, you know, Wellwood isn't that attractive or whatever it is. It's not in the Montefiore. It doesn't have that appeal or whatever. It doesn't feel like home anyways. It's a little bit, you know. But like, if you're buried, that's your city. This is your hometown. Your family is here. Your roots are here. People could visit you there. Like, whatever it is, just psychologically to think I'm going to be, my body is going to be shipped there. It's all buried in far away. But it's like there is a certain, even though we're going to die, and we're going to die, what's the difference? But still, when we're alive, these things do matter. And a person who says, bury me in Eretz Yisrael, at least certainly if he has a proper perspective on the value of Eretz Yisrael, is saying, despite the fact that I am here, where I really consider my home, is the home of Klal Yisrael, the home of the Lost and Love. And that itself is an action of perfection. That's the value. You know, of course, Chazal says it's better, I think the Rambam brings it, better to go when you're alive than when you're dead. If a person his whole life has the opportunity to go, and says, nah, I'd rather be here because I like the lap of luxury and the comforts and all that, and then just bury me there. I don't know if it's... I'm not sure if that's really the thing, because you could go there, so it's... I'm not sure if you're just doing it to avoid the pain of the tunnels, you know, or something like that. Maybe it wouldn't work as well. But, you know, arguably, however you do it, you still are attaching yourself and identifying your ultimate connection to the land of Israel, not to the land of America or whatever other land it is, you know. Arguably, that's the mitzvah, and they avoid a certain pain. But this is one of the nachkamina would be, according to this way of learning, is let's say you commanded your family to bury an Eretz Yisrael. And after you die, for whatever reason, the plans fell through. And it couldn't happen. Out of your control. So then I would say you're not going to have the pain of the tunnels. So if you learn it literally, the pain of the dragon, if you learn it literally that it's a physical pain of being dragged through the underground, then Bahman is, you're not buried. But if you learn it as a psychological pain, of being extracted, and the action of commanding them to bury you there is what makes you avoid that pain. So then you've done that. As far as you're concerned, you've done that. So your bones will have to be dragged. It's not the physical pain of your bones being dragged. And that answers that question. Now someone asked, maybe Naomi, well, why do you deserve the pain? The answer is you deserve the pain because it's because of your improper connection. Right? I thought of a mashal. So I was trying to explain this to Ezra. But before I tell them the answer, but I thought of Marshall. It's like if you imagine a person who's a, let's say, an athlete, you know, someone whose entire life is like sports or something like that, you know? And all of a sudden, they're paralyzed, right? And their whole life, right, they're paralyzed. You can imagine the pain and suffering that they're going to have to go through because all their energy is going towards sports, their physical body, all that, right? And now they're going to all of a sudden be dragged out of that and pulled into a whole new world, and they're going to have to adjust. At the end of the day, maybe they'll become redirect their energies towards Chachma, whatever it is, but that's a very painful process because you're just pulling them out of their comfort zone. That's a whole new, the old energies are going to get become frustrated. But if on the other hand, you told a person, you know, in 5 years you have a debilitating disease, degenerative disease, and 5 years from now you're not going to be able to walk. And that would be much easier for the person. As much as hard as it would be, they would slowly work on themselves and slowly redirect their energies and be able to, you know, in a piecemeal way, redirect their energies towards it. Right? So that's what I'm saying. The same thing is here, is that if a person doesn't say, bury me in Mitzrayim, just lives here, then the Tchias HaMeisim will be a wake-up call. It will be like the guy's paralyzed. All of a sudden, you're out of your comfort zone. But if, on the contrary, you plan for it, you say, bury me there, when you're alive, you work on that, then even though it will happen, but you'll be ready for it, because you'll prepare. But taking the muscle further, is if you imagine a person who's involved in sports a lot, but they're not truly attached to it, that's just what they do, and then they're paralyzed, then it won't be hard for them. Because it's true that's what they do, because that's what they do. But if they're not attached to it in any serious way, then they'll be able to just... So they put their energy elsewhere. You know, so that would be like the tzaddik who's in Eretz Yisrael, who's going to have tunnels, and he's going to have to walk, and he's going to have to redirect his energies. But it's not going to be painful. It will just be a process of walking your energy elsewhere. You know what I mean? Yeah.
What does that mean to direct your energies to Eretz Yisrael? Like, if you're living here and there's specific reasons why you can't move to Eretz Yisrael physically, what does it mean to direct your energies to that?
In which case? By the tzaddik gemara or the not tzaddik gemara,
like,
or the regular
before
person?
Before, when you said that if you have opportunity to move to Eretz Yisrael during your lifetime, you should do it, but if there are practical considerations that are keeping you from moving, then...
So the practical considerations are legitimate, then I guess what you could do is you could say, bury me in Eretz Yisrael. And then you're basically, and then saying, very much, so saying, listen, my ultimate attachment is Eretz Yisrael. I'm not there in my life because I can't, because of practical reasons. But that's where I ultimately want to be. And I realize America is just where I happen to be because whatever. But not because I intrinsically value America as a value, but because I realize ultimately my ultimate fate is tied with Eretz Yisrael and Klal Yisrael, and, you know. So then you'll avoid that pain. You know, but it's not just the physical saying, bury me there, buy a plot there. There's different levels. You could just say, buy a plot there, or you could think about it. You could think, what does it mean to buy a plot there? Why am I buying a plot there? What's the point of buying a plot there? What's the Eretz Yisrael represent? Why, if I'm going to die soon, what's the point of doing that? What does it say about me and my values and my attachments? That's what I'm saying. A person could be totally attached to America and just know that that's a nice thing to do, and, you know, I have money, might as well just do it, as opposed to a person who understands and thinks into what does it mean? What is the America represent? What is the value system of America? What does Eretz Yisrael represent? What is the value system of Eretz Yisrael? Where do I ultimately see myself? What is my allegiance to this or to that? That process is the process of perfection.
One of the things that Eretz Yisrael stands for is that our avos are buried there, and that's where our avos were. So it's just interesting that Yaakov and Abraham, like when Abraham decided to buy a plot there, it wasn't because there was something intrinsically, like at that time, was there?
Well, that was the land of the Ashkacha, which Hashem promised him, this is going to be the land which is chosen by God for it to be the land of Eretz Yisrael, or Kal Yisrael. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a good question, why is that land that he chose? But clearly there was a special, there's going to be a special Ashkacha, the God, go on this land, this is the land which is going to be the land of the Jews. And there's, I mean, that's a good question. There's what exactly the values of Eretz Yisrael are. I mean, that's, I'm kind of talking about this, but it does touch upon what are all the purposes, what are the good things about Eretz Yisrael, and that's a different, a longer discussion which we have to analyze, you know.
I think from what you're saying, as opposed to Abraham Avinu, Yaakov would have had a reason, right, why he would have been attached, he would have possibly theoretically been okay being buried in the time. Like, he had some attachment. He was
Right, that would have been the natural thing. Right, the natural thing would have been to be in Mitzrayim, because that's where he is, that's his home, that's his family, that's his, you know, and he's here. But he's saying, no. First of all, yes, I want there, but first I got to break here. That's why I'll not see Mitzrayim. No, Mitzrayim is not my place. Okay, now where is? Okay, there. But first he has to positively break his attachment to Mitzrayim. Good? Okay, the kingdom.
Question. So, like, people who specifically get buried because of this Rashi, you know, they don't want to commit, you know, hurt people.
The pain of the
tunnels. They don't want to go through the tunnels, so they get buried as well. So, is there any benefits to that?
Right. So, that's what I was thinking. I know. I would say yes and no. I mean, the ultimate benefit is not because you want to avoid pain, but it's because you want to attach yourself to Eretz Yisrael. And the pain of the tunnels.
Rashi says something, so they're doing what Rashi says.
You're right. Doing because the Rashi says, and it sounds scary, and you want to avoid this, the tunnels. So then I would say it's not. I don't think that's ultimately the perfection. But at the same time, there is a value.
Willing,
in it.
I guess.
They're willing to do it. There is a psychological meaning to the fact that you're not going to be buried here. You're going to be buried there. Your family is going to come visit you there. You're like. It does involve a certain type of a attachment to the land. Well, just the fact that you commissioned them to do that, you know, to do that to you. So it may not be ultimately for like a lishma reason, but arguably like lishma, there is a value to it, and it could affect a person's emotions in a positive way. You know, so they're not gaining the fullest, but at the same time, I wouldn't say that it's worthless. You know, I mean, I say it could be worthless depending on how a person, you know. Yeah. But like with most mitzvahs, you know, it's like a little, you know, it sounds like it's a good thing. There's a little shema. But of course, there's other factors, you know, I don't know. I mean, you could even say, you know, not everyone in history has been buried in Eretz Yisrael. You could say, listen, maybe you're a source of inspiration to your kids. Your kids aren't going to be able to go to Eretz Yisrael. Anything will be important for them to be able to think about you, and you know, I don't know. There's like there are. I'm not saying this is the only thing that everyone has to do this. I mean, there is. The main thing is there's a value to it. So it's not just a magical formula to have the whatever. It's, you know, there's one factor to consider, but an argument. Maybe there are other factors. You know, again, not every child like in our history is in a very narrow Yisrael. I don't know if it's because it was impossible. It could just be there's other factors to consider. Yeah. All right. So, any thought about the kingdom?
I had a thought that maybe, in terms of people knowing where Yaakov was buried, that there's a certain respect that they have for him, and a certain like reverence that they had for him and his, his who he was, and. I mean, we still have that, right? That we go visit the cover of Yavos because we inspire people. But if people knew that I mean, like the Jews didn't have the matkos, but I guess if the soil did turn to Canaan, that would have meant that Yaakov was somehow being denigrated, and that would be disrespect for what he used to.
Okay, good. I was thinking the same thing. That he was supposed to be a source of inspiration, Yaakov, you know. People look at him and they think about what he stood for. And the Makos were an attack on Mitzrayim, on the land of Mitzrayim, on the water of Mitzrayim. You see, the Mitzrayim looked at the water, it was like disgusting to them. So this the land of Mitzrayim was a source of klala. And you don't want people to look at Yaakov as a source of klala and associate him to the klala. So the land was going to be on severe attack. And the Mitzrayim and the Jews who were there, if they saw the land turn to dot, to Akinim, and Yaakov was there, it could be they'd have negative attachment association to him. So this is going to be a land of the Makos. He says, this, I don't belong to it. This is a cursed land, not a blessed land. And Yaakov doesn't belong there, you know. So it wasn't because he was worried about the pain of the lice, of the Akinim, as much as he was worried about the pain to his image, the blow that it would have to his image. You know, and he didn't want that. He knew that would be, it would be perceived. Good. Good. And then the last thing is they make him about the Tzar. Okay? That also he didn't want.
What was it all the embalming, right? If that's okay?
The embalming?
Yeah.
I guess so. That's the way they did it. I don't know. It's like how nice idea. I don't know. And especially if they're going to bring him to us. I don't know. Right. I don't know. I'm not sure. Good question. No, and then the Torah. You know, there's the whole of the Mitzrayim thing there. Yeah, so I don't know. I think it's maybe a typo, though, a mistake in the Rashi. I don't know, because Rashi says he didn't worry about the Tsar of the rolling in the tunnels. But in the Gemara, the tunnels is not the Tsar. It's the Tsar of the rolling, not the tunnels. The tunnels is the solution. So I don't know. It's like, I don't know, maybe it's like some misprint or something. I don't know.
The translation here is roll through the earth.
Roll through the earth, yeah. So they don't. Does it have tunnels though? In the Hebrew it has mechilos though? The Rashi.
It says mechilos, but
yeah.
The translation
is. Yeah, so they must realize it's not the tunnels. So I don't know. So it seems like it's. The Gemara though is the source of the Rashi is the Gemara. The Gemara is clearly differentiating, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's just referencing you to that thing, but. If it seems from this Gemara, he knew it would be tunnels, then he'd be happy. It would have been fine. The problem is he didn't know if he was going to be Sadeh Gamma. So it doesn't seem to be. It was the tunnels that he was worried about. It was the absence of tunnels.
Maybe the Tsar has to do with tunnels?
Yeah, I guess so. The Tsar, you could say it. It's not exactly. It's not precise. I'm fine just saying it was the gear stuff off. All that sort of thing. It doesn't bother me.
This one sometimes says.
What's that?
This one sometimes says that whether the words were.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't say. Yeah. Okay, so this is nice. I like doing these kinds of things, you know, these Rashi's which sound totally like wild, and then to see like an idea, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
Whenever we would ask about that as a kid, it was always like, you're not supposed to think too much about the Olam Haba and whatever. We shouldn't talk about it. So let's move on to something else.
Right. But this is good, though, because it shows you the idea of what you should think about when you die in Olam Haba, you know, in your life, and where is your home, and what do you attach yourself to. And it's not so much about the pain of the... See, that's the thing that's good. It's not because of the pain in the future. It's also related to your perfection now. Your pain in your future is a... It's not like he's thinking about then. He's thinking about now. And that pain is a symptom of the fact that now he's attached to Mitzrayim. So it's like he's avoiding that pain means he's avoiding the pain of breaking from Mitzrayim because he's breaking from Mitzrayim now. So that's like a... It's the perfection now that he's concerned about, not so much because of the, you know, the pain of the tunnels or pain of the rolling.
How many years did Yaakov spend in Mitzrayim?
17. I think so. As?
That's short compared to the rest of his life.
Straight up in the Parsha? I think so. Does it say that?
Yeah, there's
nothing here. First five words.
17 years?
Well, I don't know. That's 17 years now. I'm not sure until when he died. Is it 17 years until now or 17 years the entire thing? I don't know. No? not sure. It's a good question. Was it all together or not? I don't know. I don't know the answer.
The Yosef was living there longer than 17 years.
Yeah. Yeah, so he was there before them by many years. Mm. Yeah. But you can see that point, though. You can imagine they got attached. It's not so easy to live in a place and to be successful in a place and to not get attached to it.
All the people were very much influenced by the Egyptian culture. Otherwise, yeah. It's like they were at the level of Tuma, yeah. Where if
right.
They wouldn't...
Sure, the other Jews, right.
Yeah.
That's why I wonder, the other Ashvatim, I'm not sure, maybe they didn't have that same attachment. You know, Yaakov and Yosef were like important people. You see, for instance, Yaakov was there, where they make him a Dao Zara, and Yosef was the king. Maybe the other Ashvatim didn't have that type of attachment. Maybe they, I don't know, it's hard to know, you know.
We don't know what they
I don't know, we don't know, yeah, maybe Yaakov was buried in the Shomron, so who knows. Yeah, it just, this is what the Chazal is talking about, and so can say about their command, so we don't know right. What that, maybe other Ashvatim also. I don't know. Yeah. Okay, Miriam, how you doing? Any question there?
No, I'm good.
Okay, great. Okay, so have a good one. Nice to speak to you.
Thank you. Okay. Bye.